This is Aaron Gulbertson in for Michael Patrick Leahy. I apologize to the audience. You're stuck with me today on this lovely stormy Friday here in the city of Nashville. On our newsmaker line, we have my good friend Mark Walters of Armed American Radio. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Aaron. How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right. It's been a few weeks, so I wanted to have you on. For those of our audience who have not been paying attention to what's been going around the country, what's the latest of what's going on with the Second Amendment news?
Oh, gosh. Regarding the Second Amendment, there's no news. Cue up the end of the show music. Let's just call it a day. Good heavens. Where do you want to start? I think the top story over the last week, of course, has been, I'd say it trumps pretty much anything else, pun intended, is that House Oversight Committee hearing, the dog and pony show that occurred when the Democrats telegraphed for Americans what their true intentions are for the Second Amendment, that being attacking the gun industry through manufacturers that they had up on the hearing a couple days ago. Marty Daniel, the CEO of Daniel Defense, and Chris Colloy, the CEO of Ruger, et cetera. The Democrats made it very, very clear in that House Oversight hearing, from their opening statement all the way on through their line of questioning, what it is they have in store for the right to keep and bear arms, and that is to take everything away from you. That is their goal. And of course, Jerry Nadler, so stupid that he is. Nadler could be a whole show himself. But Nadler, of course, was caught by Representative Bishop out of North Carolina when he asked, "Is there anybody on the other side who will explain to me whether or not you're trying to, does this bill of yours, the assault weapons bill ban, which Nadler wrote, does it take away guns in common use? Does it ban guns in common use?" And Nadler said, yes, that's the point of the bill. So let's go from there.
He's saying the quiet part out loud. Of course, I'm sure.
Sometimes they slip up. Sometimes they slip up and do that, yeah. But we already know that, and it is great when they come out and say that because it vindicates, we've been talking about this for years. We know that's their ultimate goal, and to hear the author of the bill banning your guns say, yes, that's the goal of the bill, pretty much tells you everything you need to hear. So those of you who might be listening thinking, well, I'm a Democrat and I love my guns, they'll never take our guns. Yes, they will. That's what their goal is.
Yeah, their goal is to ultimately obliterate the Second Amendment and take away the people's right to keep and bear arms. And then after that, of course, what we saw during the COVID lockdowns and all of the mandates will turn into, you'd be far worse without the Second Amendment. I mean, look at what happened in Australia. That's just a perfect example of it. We here in Tennessee, and I say this sarcastically, we're very proud of Memphis Congressman Steve Cohen's little lecture that he gave to the Judiciary Committee Republicans on their lack of support on the falsely named assault weapons ban. I'm waiting for the assault pencils and the assault, baseball bat ban, too, to come out from them. What are you seeing in terms of pushback on this? I mean, the Republicans are obviously not supporting it, but, they're also not the majority at the moment.
Well, and that is, therein lies part of the problem. That right there is more proof positive that elections have consequences, of course. But we know these things. Let me go back and address your comments about an assault pencil, et cetera. Assault, when you say it's misnamed, it is misnamed. Assault is a verb. This is a question I ask my listeners over the years. If I beat you to death with a baseball bat, did I beat you with an assault bat or did I assault you with a baseball bat? Okay? So when you have media, big media behind you, as the Democrats do, they can get away with calling anything they want. We live in such an upside-down world that we have a president of the United States, along with the media, telling Americans that we're not in recession when we have just suffered through two quarters of recession. I studied business in college. That was my major. We studied economics. We know what a recession is. But we're being gaslighted right now into believing that it's not really true. If I put on a dress today and identify as a woman, I'm a woman because that's what I call myself. we live, never in my wildest dreams did I think America would go down this rabbit hole, yet we're down the rabbit hole. And now we're trying to find a way out, and I don't know that we find a way out. When you have this level of, and I'm going to use the word confusion, and here's why. There are Americans right now scratching their heads thinking, well, maybe a man can get pregnant. Maybe I've been wrong all these years. That's the power of the mainstream press. And the Democrats know how to play the mainstream press because they own the mainstream press. So we're in, this is very, very, very dangerous territory that we're treading water in right now, when people can be told things that we know are wrong and then begin question them. Decent, hard work. I mean, I myself have done it. God, could the NRA really be this, you know, because they're getting beaten up constantly until you snap out of it and go, God, what are you doing? Okay? This is very, very dangerous times that we live in right now. And I wanted to address that. I apologize, but I wanted to address that because it's very important, the point you brought up, the fact that that is misnamed. That's what the Democrats do. That's how they gaslight people into believing certain things and selling certain policies. They are literally talking about taking away millions of Americans' firearms. Let's just contradict that now with what's happening, or put it in context, I should say, with what's happening in Canada right now. Canada, as of yesterday, is offering up to $1,337, up to almost $6,200 Canadian dollars for buying back your assault weapon. That's their proposed number to buy back your assault weapon. However, there's nothing proposed about it, because in the same sentence, they tell you that the buyback is mandatory. And that move is being championed by American gun grabber groups and gun grabber groups the world over. We've never seen a ban or a confiscation anywhere in the world that American gun grabbers have not championed. And American gun owners need to wake up to this fact and do it quickly. We have a party in power in Washington, D.C. right now. Now, there's some confusion. Maybe you can help me with this one. I heard yesterday that Nancy Pelosi didn't have enough votes and was hesitating to put the quote-unquote assault weapons ban bill to the floor for a vote. Then yesterday I saw something stating that it would be going to a vote as soon as today. So I need to get confirmation on that. I'm not sure yet which one's going. The fact of the matter is there is a bill out there that every single Democrat, for the most part, maybe with the exception of one or two, will vote on to take away your guns. I don't know if that's not warning and red flag, to use their term, enough. I don't know what is.
1 minute.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, right? The House is the rubber stamp for the, heck, we just might as well say the right word, communist agenda. And the Senate right now, God love us, is hanging by a thread, because we have to rely on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to kind of prevent some of these things from happening. And they're Democrats, and, you know, at some point, they're not going to, I mean, listen, they vote better than the other Democrats, and they're not as crazy, but they certainly don't do a lot for the rest of the country. Mark, stay with us for another segment. We got a lot more to talk about.
Of course.
This is Aaron Gulbranson in for Michael Patrick Leahy on the Tennessee Star Report. We'll be back with Mark Walters of Armed American Radio after the break. This is Aaron Gulbranson, guest hosting the Tennessee Star Report with Michael Patrick Leahy. Michael is out of town, and y'all are stuck with me today. On our newsmaker line, we'll go right back to that, is Mark Walters of Armed American Radio. Mark, before we get more into the Second Amendment topic, how do people find you? I want to make sure that you get that out there. Mark, you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, now I can hear you fine, yeah.
ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Real simple. You can listen to the show Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time, or Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Central Time as well. 6 days a week, we're preaching the right to keep and bear arms, now in our 14th year.
So I want to kind of, I actually wanted to ask you this. This is kind of random, and but are you seeing, you know, it's primary season, are you seeing on the Republican side any anti-gun candidates running out there? It's kind of a loaded question, but, you know, are there squishes that seem to be winning any of these races around the country?
Not that I've really noticed. I mean, there's, you know, you get the Republicans have, you got a few rhinos in there. All right, take a look at what happened in the Senate with the gun control bill. Now they're all preaching no more gun control. Of course, they just gave us the bill that put the brick in the door and let the breeze in for the Democrats to come back for more over in the Senate. And, of course, and the House as well, which we know will happen. And that bill, of course, was signed by Biden. But nothing really jumps out at me as far as an anti-gun Republican that's running on an anti-gun agenda. You know, you have a pretty good division and separation between the two parties. The Republicans are protecting the right to bear arms for the most part, and the Democrats, almost in lockstep, are working in conjunction to wipe out the Second Amendment. They have one thing standing in their way, of course, and that is a Second Amendment. But that's not stopping them, as we've seen what happened after the Bruin case in New York, beautifully penned by Thomas. And you've got every Democrat in the country now, in particular New York's Hochul, Gavin Newsom in California, the usual suspects, all trying to work their way around and run around the Constitution to ignore the Bruin case. And again, we have a political party in this country that is attacking, through control of the legislative branch and the executive branch, now delegitimizing or attempting to delegitimize and being very effective at it, the third branch of government, the judicial branch. This is, again, very, very dangerous, times that we live in, and very dangerous games that the Democrats are playing. And they're doing it, of course, with help from the mainstream press. So there's a clear division between the parties, and the House Oversight Committee hearing this week proved that once again.
You know, it's interesting to me because it shows you how radically anti-Second Amendment and among other American freedoms that the left is, because when the Supreme Court kicks them in the butt like they did in New York, they turn around and go, rather than saying, okay, we'll abide with your decision, they go, no, we're going to go push our luck again and, you know, pass some other laws that are similar to ones that they weren't allowed to, and they just keep pushing their agenda and they don't stop. In doing so, of course, they wind up spending a lot of taxpayer money in court defending their unconstitutional laws. I did want to get into, because it was one of those things that popped, but talk about the legislation that the 14 Republicans in the Senate kind of betrayed the Second Amendment on. You know, why do Republicans do that? Why do we compromise knowing, or why is there a segment that compromises knowing that the Democrats are not going to stop?
You know, that's a great question. And let me take that back to Scott, now Senator Scott, former Governor Scott in Florida, shortly after Parkland, if we all recall what happened down there. Again, you had an incredible, intense media coverage. And here was Scott, the governor of Florida, who prior to Parkland had been widely regarded as the single most pro-gun governor the state of Florida had seen, having just recently signed 6 pro-gun bills. And the media coverage was so intense after Parkland, as it always is. And you know, I could make the argument that it deserves to be, but not the hysterical type of coverage that the U.S. media gives it, that caved in and signed the Parkland bill, 3 gun control bills, including a red flag bill, et cetera. And we question, why would Scott do that? The only conclusion that I can draw is because he was running for Senate and the media blitz against him was so intense that this was his way of showing America, because he fell for the media trap as well and said, we've got to do something, even though the something that he signed does nothing. It's nothing but window dressing, just like the bill that we saw come out of the Senate. That bill will stop no crime whatsoever. Need I point you back to Chicago, L.A.,
New York,
St. Louis, Baltimore, Nashville, Atlanta, okay, Philadelphia? Crime is up in triple digits in these cities. This bill did nothing and will do nothing to stop that crime. Now, they're focusing on quote-unquote mass shootings, which, by the way, and again, I'm going to point this number out, in the context of this conversation answering your question, we'll go back and kind of just slide back into home because all of this is tied together. What you have is fewer rifles have been used in the United States every single year. And this is according to the FBI, not this crazy gun nut radio host. I'm just giving you the facts. You can do with them what you want. You can go find it at FBI.gov, listeners, and look up the Uniform Crime Report. Fewer rifles of all kinds are used to murder Americans every year than people are killed by hands and feet and blunt objects. So this is the low-hanging fruit. Let's demonize for years. This is a long game for them. A particular weapon, in this case, assault weapons. Let's get them off our streets, these weapons of war. And then when crime numbers don't come down, because let's assume they did it. Assault weapons are off the streets, using their term. And there's no more mass shootings in the country magically because somehow nobody remembers that Shuangwing Cho used a Glock handgun and murdered 32 people in Virginia Tech. Because handguns can't be used to murder 32 people at a school. Let's just assume that they got that. The numbers are mathematically insignificant when you remove the number of people killed in the United States by all rifles combined. It's not even a blip. It's mathematically insignificant because the vast majority of killings in this country and murders are committed by criminals using handguns. And this bill did nothing. So to swing back around to what Scott did and what the Republicans did in the Senate was to try to appease the media to get them off their back, to show Americans that, see, Republicans did something too, even though it does nothing, absolutely nothing. And then when you combine that and put it in the bigger picture overall, what you have to look at is why didn't Scott stand up? This is what you and I want to see as Republicans and conservatives who fight for gun rights. Why didn't Scott stand up and say, you know what, no, I'm not going to sign these bills. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to put 20 million Floridians at risk of losing their constitutional rights because of the actions of one single madman. That would have been leadership. And sometimes we see that lack of leadership throughout the Republican Party, which is exactly what we saw. This is how we tie it right back to the Senate, what we saw with that phony bill coming out of the Senate that will do absolutely nothing. Instead of the Republicans standing up and holding firm and saying, absolutely not, are we going to screw all of America because of the actions of a criminal, nothing will change. Nothing will change. All they did was put a brick in the door, and here's why. Because of what I just told you. Assuming it worked, which it will not, the Democrats are now going to look at those numbers and go, well, gosh, that didn't work. We need to come after handguns. That's why Murphy tabled an assault weapon ban bill in the Senate bill, because he knew that a madman was going to kill more people. Let's just go ahead and take this bill now. And then when it doesn't work, we can come back and say, see, we need to do more. That's how the game is being played by the Democrats. And sadly, there are Republicans who just don't have the spine to stand up and put their foot down, which they could easily have done in this case.
And we're almost out of time, but I will make the point of when you look at a strong leader like Ron DeSantis, who has proven that you could be incredibly strong, not apologize, and act your agenda, defend constitutional rights of Floridians, and doesn't apologize, doesn't bow to the media.
And win.
And he wins.
And continue to win.
All right, so this is Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, a good friend of the show. We will have you back next time, Mark. I appreciate you joining us so early on this Friday morning. Thanks, man.
No problem. Appreciate it. Keep up the fight, Aaron.
All right. See you next time. We'll be back after the break.